This is the Truth Network.
Coming to you from an entrenched barricade deep in the heart of Central North Carolina. Masculine Journey After Hours, a time to go deeper and be more transparent on the topic covered on this week's broadcast. So sit back and join us on this adventure. The Masculine Journey After Hours starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey After Hours. Like, that's pretty intriguing, just the name of it, right? And today's topic is, where's your go-to for hope? Like, where is it that you are hanging on? I remember when the car business was in one of its many downturns and droughts, that there was this picture of this little kitten that had its claws dug in. It said, "Hang in there, baby." You know, so what are you hanging on to when you hang in? And so, you know, what do we have back from an amazing journey down under? Jim Graham himself is, you know, so Jim, you know, when you got to hang in there, baby, where do you go?
Well, one of the things that I witnessed down under were a heck of a lot of sheep. And the friend we were staying with, or he's a lead farmer on a very large, we'd call it a ranch, they call it a farm, even though what they grow is to feed the cattle and the sheep. But the sheep were amazing in their ability when trying to run from danger to run right in front of the danger.
That's bad.
It was. And fortunately, the drivers, Andrew was in front of me driving, but I just was sitting there. It was crazy because they knew they had to get away from this machine coming their way, but 3 out of 5 of the sheep would run right in front of it at the last second. So he was being careful not to take out the sheep. And
you don't want to ram them, right?
No, you don't. Ooh, I knew I should have avoided sheep. But it did remind me of how we react to scary things. As humans, we are sheep. Go ahead, Andy.
Oh, I was just going to say,
you're about to explode.
This is just a new crowd, and we just want to. So Robbie is our expert pun artist here. I mean, we're constantly, if there's somebody's going to say something, Robbie's got a response to it. So,
Sam.
Always.
He's a punny guy.
Yeah, Sam's good too, but Robbie happens to be here, so I'm going to.
That's true. I'm sorry. You were talking about sheep, which is a great.
Which we are like sheep. And one of the things I wanted to do is honor Danny by being him. And we're looking at where our hope is. And there's a wonderful passage that just about everybody should know at the end of 1 Corinthians 13. I want to read, talk about a little bit, and then that'll also lead into the clip, assuming you want me to talk that long. But let me read that to you, and this is from the Tree of Life version. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. But now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And it sort of clicked as I looked at this, because I was just going to do the last verse. But it's important, and I never totally saw this, that he's talking about when he was a child, and we can relate to that as human adults. But the verse 12, the one in the middle, says, we see in a mirror dimly now. We're still children. We're still confused by the danger. And without the faith and hope here, then we don't connect with the love, which is God. The reason love is greater is because, A, that is God, and B, when we are in heaven, we don't need faith and hope. They're for this world. but the love is eternal. And one of the what the clip that Andy was kind enough to take what I said in a text that I couldn't do it and found a good one that is showing a child, 12, 13 max, maybe 10 or 11, hard to guess, encounters the future king in Aragorn. And Aragorn, they're arming all the old men. Here, I would have had a sword, yay. And all the children to defend against overwhelming odds. They are hundreds against tens of thousands in this battle. At least that's the perception. And they're stuck against, they're in a fortress, but the fortress will not hold against that number, and they have nowhere to run to. So many are in a place of hopelessness. And let's listen to them interact, and then we'll chat.
What is your name?
Hollis, son of Hamelmaine. The men are saying that we will not live out the night. They say that it is hopeless.
This is a good sword. Hale, son of Hamar. There is always hope.
That, as I told him in there when I heard it, I tingled. Because this is the future king. This is a representation of Jesus. And he's talking to a child. And the whooshing you hear is Aragorn taking his sword and showing him he's got the weapon that he needs to fight in this seemingly hopeless battle. And does tell him there's always hope. And there is always hope, however overwhelming the odds against us seem to be. And that hope can only come through our Lord and Savior. Talking about this earlier, the question was posed, where is your hope, which is the name of the show? And the answer is, takes, well, we debated some whether it's 2 or 3 seconds, but I was corrected when I said two, because it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that's where all of our hope is. And faith is related to that. If we don't have faith in those three and depend on them, then there is no hope.
Yeah, and there is that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which again speaks to the hope. But getting back to your sheep metaphor, you know, I think it's fascinating that, you know, Jesus is referred to as the Good Shepherd many, 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 many times. And you couldn't be more right that most of us, when we're afraid, we run this way and that way and directly right in front of the car. Had that experience with a donut the other day.
A donut ran in front of your car?
It did, and I ate it. For me, it's about as bad as a car, you know. But in Hebrew, the word for shepherd is not unlike David's name. It's got very similar letters, and some of them are the same letters. And it also is very connected to this idea of love, which is David's name, is the beloved. And it's fascinating that David was a shepherd, right? And but who would better understand a shepherd, right, than the Lord is my shepherd? He wrote the 23rd Psalm because he was looking for the Lord to be his shepherd. And, you know, it's kind of a neat thing that you're talking about, where's your hope? And everybody agrees it's in Jesus, but it's in Jesus through prayer, it's in Jesus through his word, it's in Jesus, you know, through, and I love this idea of the full armor of God is actually, I love that song that says, it may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, right? Like he completely has you. The battle has been won, okay? You know, it may seem like I'm surrounded, but what you're really surrounded by in that armor's case is if you'll, you know, let go and let God realize that, you know, there it is. So it's an amazingly beautiful thing.
when Terry mentioned the your shod with the gospel of peace,
right.
Your shoes are the gospel of peace. That was my first, well, it's the first one there too, but that's the first one that I love because I may not be a peacemaker all the time, but sometimes I'm a peacekeeper and I'm always a peace seeker. I want peace. But what really hit home and the one I need most and work on most was what protects our heart, which is the chest plate of righteousness. And if we are being sinful and we're stuck in that, it's hard to protect our heart.
I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I think the truth, the hope, it's either for the positive of the Lord or the opposite of the world.
Well put. Yeah, Grant. Yeah, is your hope in money? Is your hope in fame? Is your
hope
in power?
Or hope for...
Right. Well said, Grant.
If it's anything else, your hope is not only vain, but you'll keep seeking it and never find hope in it.
There you go. So, Andy, you're batting cleanup, buddy.
Okay. So... my clip is from The Chosen, and it's around a campfire. And if you've seen The Chosen, you see the disciples. You have Peter.
What if you haven't seen The Chosen?
Yeah. Well.
Then what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's lots of people. In fact, I talk to people all the time, and I go, well, you know, in The Chosen, they'll look at me like, no, I would never watch that. So.
Well, I choose to.
No. What is it? Just I'm saying.
So The Chosen is a group just put together a show that really gave insight into the Gospels. You know, pre-crucifixion, it's leading up to it. You've probably seen The Chosen Last Supper advertised in the theaters now. But it's basically Jesus' life and his interaction with his disciples. And what you see is there's some stuff added, just using your imagination of what it would be like in the Gospels, of getting the full story. The Gospels, you know, have what was recorded, but it's not all the conversation, and it's just some ideas of what it would look like. And I think sometimes it gives insight into the emotions. It almost makes it three-dimensional. And in doing so, a campfire, you know, we talk a lot about the community around the campfire. You'll go to a campfire when you come to a boot camp. And the disciples are around the campfire, and it's not just the disciples. It's Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And they're just having a conversation about, it essentially is talking about hope or trust. What is it? And they're talking about money, what would you rather have, money or something else? I think Grant mentioned that. Purpose. They're just talking about what their hope is in. And even Mary at the end talks about, you know, just her interaction and how God spoke to her about what he felt about her, which is in the essence of what we're getting at. It's about relationship. And I guess the thing is this whole point of you truly can trust in God or all this other stuff. And the testing comes, and you could have fully proven God out in this situation, but you still, I mean, David had to go from the bear to the lion. That didn't guarantee that he was going to trust God to take out Goliath. Now, he did, like in Robbie's clip. But just going through that, it's life brings one test after another. And my problem was I used to win some and lose some and had a very unstable faith life or hope. My hope was up and down. It was variable. And not that it's... you know, rock solid now, but it's much more stable and constant. But anyway, that's as you get into this message, it will talk about of wild at heart and understanding who you are as a man and where your trust, you know, where there's value in the trust of knowing who you are, but who God is and then how that comes together as a man. It just helps everything out. So I'm just going to quit rambling here. And
no, it's good because I love it. When you listen to this clip, what you're hearing is a lot of characters from the Bible. So you'll hear them, one of them's Peter.
Yeah.
And Peter is talking about money to some extent, and what, you know, and Andrew, is it that says, you know,
he's the one that poses the question.
If you had to, you know, would you cut off your arm for a sum of money?
Yep.
And then, so you're hearing the disciples say this, and you hear Mary Magdalene chime in with what her life was like prior to meeting Jesus. And then the one that really gets to me in the clip that I love is Matthew. Now, Matthew, in The Chosen, as well as in the Bible, was a tax collector, right? And so he was probably extremely wealthy. And in The Chosen, he's, you know, autistic. So you see this really very unusual character who's really good at math, not so good at relating with people, but a heart that's bigger than all tomorrow. And it's really a beautiful portrayal of Matthew, in my opinion, in that. But here you hear him being, of all those that were dealing with money, you know, here's somebody that laid that down.
And they were kind of poking fun out of him and actually, you know, just giving him a hard time. Hey, you've not had problems with money. What's it feel like? You know, what would you choose?
Right, right. And so all that insight's in this wonderful clip from The Chosen.
Andrew, I need a mental break. Do one of your meaningless question games.
They're not meaningless. They're interesting. And I've got one I've been thinking about lately. What would you do for unlimited money? Or what would you give up to have all the money you could ever want for the rest of your life?
Meaning, would I do something painful?
Yes. Or crazy?
Would you give up your left hand if you would be rich the rest of your life?
Maybe not a full hand, but a couple of fingers, sure. What about love? Would you give up ever getting married?
I don't know. Simon, is it worth it?
Absolutely, but you'll never be so lucky to find someone like Eden, so take the money.
I've never had much money my whole life, and I've been happy.
I don't expect we'll have much money for as long as we're following him.
But you have had some money before, yes? Are you happier now or then?
Ask Matthew.
John?
What? That was a bad question? You brought up money. Matthew's had it. We have not.
I feel better now. I don't know if that means happy.
It's not polite to talk about personal money.
Just a question. I think about it sometimes. And then I feel guilty.
For what?
For thinking about things I shouldn't. For wanting things I shouldn't care so much about. Sometimes I feel like I'm living someone else's life. Like when I look at myself from the outside, it doesn't always feel like me. It feels like someone who's trying to live up to the heroes of our history. Like I have to do something great. But I know I'm not great. I know it even more now, being with him.
I understand. I feel like I need to not make any more mistakes. How do you think I felt?
You must feel that every day, no?
Not anymore. He always reassured me. And God always made me feel like I shouldn't be burdened.
So that was Mary there at the end, and, you know, that's kind of how I felt of, you know, you must have felt, you know, insignificant. And this is Jesus to his mother. And it's like, nah, he didn't make me feel that way. He always made me feel comfortable. And you know, there were times, I mean, life and your belief will cause you to believe that, you know, you're not significant to him. And, you know, we have plenty of scripture, but if you don't believe what that scripture says, and for a long time I knew the word, but there's a time when I didn't believe it. I felt like, you know, my namesake Andrew was speaking there and talking about, I always felt like I wanted to do something great for God, but I felt insignificant and I couldn't. And a lot of it has to do with what you put your belief and hope in. And a lot of that, first of all, like I was saying earlier, of what this ministry is about is finding out who you are and how God created you and understanding and stepping into your identity. And there comes a stability of hope in that. A hope that I didn't find consistently because I didn't believe it on a regular basis. The word was there, but I hadn't stepped into it to really believe it. And a new message came along, which was the same old message, but it came in a different packaging that helped me believe that I truly am a son of God and that I have a purpose and I have an identity and a name that only God knows for me, and that he gave it to me. And this is the kind of stuff that you'll hear at the boot camp, but it is life-changing. And my hope, my consistency of hope, not an up-and-down hope that you can get sometimes. I think all of us have had periods of hope, but we also have lost hope. I mean, I think we had some other clips that referred to that. Once you lose hope, that's difficult. And you can know God, but when God doesn't come through with you the way you think he should, at sometimes you lose hope. And that's where you have to really, you know, I mean, there are plenty of examples of people in the Bible where they thought God was going to go one way and he went another way.
Judas being one of the biggest.
Judas, right? The biggest. I mean, you think about Moses when he was coming on the scene to save it, right? And that's what a lot of us do. He was going to come on and save things, and he ended up 40 years in the backside of the desert, you know, as a shepherd. And then he leads, after he finds out who he is and what God can do and his identity through God and a burning bush and all that stuff, he leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. So
he had the hope.
I think one of the biggest idols we've missed, and money at one point was my mm-hmm. pursuit, but I had a friend and a very influential fellow in my life in mm-hmm. college named Bill, who became a lifetime politician in the North Carolina mm-hmm. legislature. And he is out of that now, but we were talking shortly after that. And I was talking about, you know, politicians getting mm-hmm. rich. And he said, that's not the point. What they all want is power and control.
Yeah.
And that might be the most tempting thing that seems harmless, but until you realize you have none except through Jesus, yeah. you're going to be going after it the wrong way.
Yeah. There's a multitude of things that can trap us in what we're hoping in. That's for sure. I think a lot of what we're going through today, though, we see an escalation of trials for people, and a lot of them are brought on by the enemy, and I think the enemy would love nothing more than to steal our hope. And I think that's one of the things that Sam was getting to, is we want to see those times where Jesus came through for us and that we're connected to him. But that doesn't mean the enemy's going to give up. You can have a proven faith that he's, you know, it could be, you have to be in this consistently, and you can't take a day off from it. It is a walk that requires, and that's the way he made it. I mean, that's why we have the story about the manna in the Exodus, you know? I mean, the daily bread. It can't be, oh, you know, the bread rotted if they didn't pick it up and eat it that day, right? So, but that's where the hope comes from, is consistency, I believe. I mean, that's what...
Well, it's the journey.
It is.
That's what it's interesting as I listen to everybody's discussion is yeah. that it isn't forged without a fire.
That's right. No doubt. And, James is clear on that.
Yeah. And so, you know, as I've heard, you know, the different testimonies of folks that mm. it was through the testing that you realize that, oh, okay, this will happen while I'm in this test.
Yeah.
That test, it didn't happen. Well, it was forging something like, this is not how to do it right. the next time.
Right.
Right. You know, what the things could go bad, as we talked about, you know, that, you know, it's, you don't want to be sheepish at the wrong time, Grant, you know.
Then at the end, you say thank you.
Yeah. At the end. So, you know, it's kind of a neat thing to know. And again, if you're not used to this crowd, it's a very diverse group
yeah.
age-wise, right? So, you know, Vinny that we heard earlier, you know, he was in his 80s. Often Harold is in here. And he's in his 80s. Jim's in his 70s, early.
70. Someone's soon to be.
Someone's, yeah. yeah, someone's very soon to be. Some of us have walked through a few fires. Others of us have walked through fires as younger people, like the Terry brothers. And Grant, oh my goodness, has he had his share of fires as well as Andy. And it's fascinating to me when you really look around the room and you survey what you know some of these men have been through, and here they sit, you know, talking about the reason why you should have hope. That's pretty amazing stuff. My fear is for, you know, those folks who aren't getting out and getting tried. In other words, yeah. if you don't, like David said, God isn't with you when you cower. You know, you got to step up and face your fears and then watch him come alongside you. Yeah.
When all the battles you fight are on a computer or on your mobile phone against right. different candy to demons are on there.
Fantasy football.
But they aren't real. And the reality is when you're in the fire in life, God is loving on you and teaching you to have that faith and that hope in him, because that's the only place we'll find it.
And one thing point I want to make, too, is I did come across pretty intense there. And I believe all that, and God has brought me through. And I did struggle for a long time, even though I was in the faith. There was things that I just had to learn, and the experience has done it. But I've also seen God's grace in it. Mm-hmm. And we do make it a little bit more like, you know, you got to do this perfect, or, you know, he's just looking to slap you on the back of the head and say, no, not that way. I mean, God's full of grace in all this. I'm just saying that my experience is it's not something that you can go about casually. I mean, God wants us to, you know, have the hope that we have in him to really press in to, as Robbie, we were talking offline earlier, he was talking about just something ChatGPT spit out on a question he had, but it talked about the burning hearts that we will have for God here in this end time. And that's, I think that's what God so desired. He's desired it for all of history.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you can do that in community, and you can do that with a band of brothers. And so we're inviting you, if you're a lady watching, hey, you may know a son or, you know, a husband or somebody that you want to point in a direction, share the podcast with them. You know, we would love to lock arms with them. It would be fun. And so we do have that boot camp coming up. It is the last week in November. Go to masculinejourneyradio.org, listen to other podcasts, and The Joyride featuring Keith. You don't want to miss out on that.
This is the Truth Network.